Good evening, it's the Radio City Legends for a Thursday night. So for a full hour, you have the company of Graham Sharp, John Aldridge, and myself, Steve Hothersall. If you'd like to talk with the boys, 0151 4720967. Everton in Friday night action, but of course, Liverpool, having played last night in the Champions League and succumbed 3-0 to Barcelona, has left Aldo feeling...
Yeah. Well, the feeling of when that free kick went in was just pure numb. I went numb. Because I know I've seen greatness, you know, but when it happens against your side and, you know, in such a fantastic manner, it was just, hey, look, we played really well. We went toe-to-toe with them, had more possession, had more shots on goal, more shots off target, you know, more corners. But it doesn't matter if you're weak in front of goal, you know, then, and the others aren't. You know, we said it before, you know, they were so clinical in front of goal. And really, we weren't. We only need to take one of three, if not four, very, very good chances. Only one. 3-1 with them in a bad scoreline. Because we're capable. You can get at them. Defensively, not great. But the attacking philosophy makes teams, you know, sit off them and not get them. Liverpool show when you get at them, you can create and you get chances, as we will at Anfield. But we needed an away goal.
Or 1-0 or even 2-0 at the most.
But three, 2-0 at the most. 3-0 is a massive... Hey, look, they got beat by Rome 3-0. We beat Man City at Rome 3-0. It can happen. Of course it can happen. But very, very much doubt it. Very much doubt it. My thought is, you know, we could score three goals against them at Anfield if we play really, really well and take our chances. But the likelihood is they'll score at Anfield, and that's where the problem comes in. We didn't get the insurance policy of getting an away goal. But we'll see what happens. We'll have to play really well to win the game. You know, when...
Sharpie, are Liverpool still in it?
Of course they're still in it. You know, it's not finished, but totally agree with what John said. If they got a goal, you'd have probably said, yeah, I fancy them. They had a couple of chances where maybe should have done better. Yeah. They've won at the end where they could have wrapped up at 4-0. I don't think there was any way back from Liverpool if that went in. But I thought Liverpool played well. I don't think you could say anything else.
They were the better team when it was 1-0, weren't they?
Yeah, but listen, I remember saying to the guy last week, he came on and he said, oh, they're scared of our front three. And if you remember right, I turned around to let him go on and say his piece. And then I said, listen, hold on. You're talking about your front three, but remember their front three. You know, and whatever you say about defensively, when you've got a threat, as Liverpool have with the front three, they have as well, very much so. And when the guy Messi, like, you know, wasn't great, flitted in and out, started getting little spaces in the second half, but I thought overall Liverpool played well. They did, but then the second goal goes in, and you think, well, right, okay, fair enough, can they hang on? I think it was Michael Owen saying at half-time on television, you know, Liverpool 1-0 down, make sure they don't collapse, make sure they don't give in. Then two goes in and you're thinking, oh, this could be anything here, hold on. Even though Liverpool chances, but then the free kick, you think, wow, just take your hat off. There's not an awful lot you can do. You just say greatness, and that's what the guy is. You know, quiet, but he'll always be a match winner. 600 goals, you know, equals Ronaldo. Incredible, incredible player.
Yeah, you have to say, Xabi, right? Coutinho, average in play. Suarez, average in play. Messi, average in play. But the chances came. Okay, it felt nice. I thought Suarez's first goal was great movement. It was brilliant. The ball was good.
Finish was excellent, wasn't it?
Finish was brilliant. You know, you could nitpick on Liverpool. Maybe Jordan could have stopped the cross a little bit better. You know, maybe Matip could have seen it a little bit earlier. But you've got to give the credit to the attacking, you know, opposition. It was just a great ball in. The time, the run was spectacular. The goalkeeper thinks he's not going to get nowhere near it. He's gone for the cross. And the rest is history.
Van Dijk got a little bit of criticism from a few quarters. You know,
who's that?
Van Dijk for the goal.
Goal. That's right, yeah.
But you look at it and you think, sometimes you just go, well, okay, fair enough, but... His movement was great. You've got to give the credit to the attacker.
Yeah,
you know, it's
I
not
agree.
All the time that you're going to make decisions kind of thing, 9 times out of 10, but you've got to give credit to the attacker there and for the ball in as well. Great ball in, knows what he's doing, he's on his toes, he's ahead. But I think Wenger had a go at him, I think Ferdinand had a go at him as well, and I just thought maybe a little bit unjust taking that away from the goal itself.
Yeah. I agree. See, we did me and Sharpie talking before the show. We went toe-to-toe from the first minute. And sometimes you can't do that against Barcelona. Hey, fair play to Jürgen. And we, you know, on another day, we perhaps could have won it. Wijnaldum up front, I have to say, was very, very strange. I couldn't have seen that when I seen the teams that he would play in that position.
He's sort of a deeper Firmino, wasn't he? Slightly deeper than where Firmino
okay.
would be.
You know, you ask me and Graham, when you're playing with the game in front of you, you know, like Wijnaldum does in midfield, when you're playing with your back towards goal, it's very difficult. Mm. It's when you've never played that position and the balls were coming off him a little bit first. But I think we wanted him to come off, stop Busquets probably getting off the ball off the keeper, first of all defensively. But then when we had the ball, he didn't know where to run and when to run. Hey, he run his socks off. Hey, mm-hmm. fair play to him. He genuinely had a proper goal. Sturridge would have done better? No, I don't think he would. Would the Rodriguez? Certainly not. So I say the manager made possibly the right decision if he was looking at them three. And my opinion at this present moment in time. But I thought Salah down the middle and possibly Shaqiri or even Chamberlain for like 60 minutes. I know it's a big ask, but you know, something on that scale. Even Milner out there, I thought possibly. But, you know, it is what it is.
Could you understand why Joe Gomez started? Because most of Liverpool's goals this season have come from through their fullbacks in some way, haven't they? Andy Robertson or Trent.
My first reaction was, I thought he was going, you know, defensively, maybe, you know, to stop them, you know, attacking us and making opportunities. But if he was going offensively, Jürgen, as he did, I thought Trent would have been better in that position. If he went toe-to-toe with him. It's a big call. I thought Joe done well in the considerations. That was his first start, since Christmas time. He's looking at other games. He's looking at Newcastle. He's freshening up with Trent coming back in and various things. And he thought that would fit the build, Jürgen. And I know he might have criticised him. I'm not going to do that. And as I said, another day, then we had to fluff the lines, and we could have won 2-1 or 2-2 or 1-1. Could have been any score. As it was, we fluffed our lines in front of goal on three or four occasions. And other than that, we take one or two of them chances, we're in a really good position. And that's the whole top and bottom of it for me.
The biggest one being Mo Salah's miss, where he hits the post.
Yeah. He's only human after all.
Absolutely.
You know, it happens.
Spot
you know, on. Sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. Looking at him, he'd be disappointed. He should have scored. They go up the other end. But listen, I think John hit it in the other head right away, and Christian said something before the show as well. You look at the team, and who are we to criticise, because he's done remarkably well. But I think every Liverpool fan would have been surprised with some of the team selections there. You know, I talked about Oxlade-Chamberlain before the game. Yeah, he's only back after a serious injury. It might have been too much a risk. I fully understand that. But you've talked all along this season about Shaqiri and options and everything else. For me, you're not playing. He played Mo Salah through there. I thought Mo Salah was excellent last night. I thought he gave him all sorts of problems running in behind. I think he would have gave Piqué problems as well. But listen, who are we to say that? But no, listen, you've got to take your hat off to them and the two goals. But overall, I thought Liverpool done well. And I don't think the only thing they could have done better was take their chances. Yeah. And they never.
Absolutely. That's it. You know, our goalkeeper didn't have a save to make, to be quite honest. He picked the ball three times out the net.
But the thing is, we'll all go to Anfield next week thinking, well, we can score three. So the question will be,
of course we can.
Can we keep them out?
But I'm saying Liverpool have to go. They won't go gung ho to start, but they have to take chances. Yeah. And against guys like that, they can pick you off as simple as that. So listen,
like
Liverpool could go and blow them away. But what I'm saying, there's more chance of this team they're playing against scoring a goal than Porto, say, for instance, scoring a goal at Anfield. Yeah. There's more chance of this team scoring.
Yeah. Stranger things have happened. Yeah. We've seen it in Istanbul. You know, you think, wow, that's it, you know. Yeah. Strange that we've been there seeing it done. I mean, Sharpie. When it's Tranmere manager 3-0 down at half time, Southampton, we won 4-3. You know, Graham's been in a situation. Mm. It can happen, but it's going to take, you know, some developments, perhaps on their side, to happen and for us to play to the top of the bill. It's going to be a great spectacle next week. You know, people saying, you know, get an early goal. Yeah, ideally, but that sometimes doesn't happen. You just got to keep at it. Dortmund went 3-1 ahead. Who'd have thought we'd have won 4-3? You know, the last 20-odd minutes. You know, but you know, Anfield's
But Barcelona lost to PSG, didn't they? Barcelona lost to PSG when they were ahead.
They got Muller there. As I say before, their defence is not the best. But when we play next week, we will get, I would say, just, we'll get 10 chances-ish. We'll get 10 chances in the 90 minutes. We've got to be really clinical. I mean, you hit the target most times, then you just never know. You never know. And we're going to talk about Suarez now, are we, take it?
No, I was going to tee you up later on. We've got to get on to Everton.
I don't want to hear any moans about Suarez doing this and Suarez doing that, because let me tell you, we've been saying that for years, and you all stuck up for him.
Oh,
now
be quiet, Sharpie.
Your own medicine.
John had an outburst on social media about Luis Suarez.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
No, the problem is, look, Steve, now hold on a minute. Who brought you up? Your mum. Your mum brought you up. And then you move on, and then you get a wife, or you move out of the country or whatever.
Do you know where this is going, Sharpie?
And then you go back to see your mum, and then you slap her in the face. Or you do something untoward towards your mum, you rob her house or whatever. He showed total disrespect for Liverpool fans who have backed him to the hilt on 1, 2, 3 occasions when he's put into the public dock. You know, and I don't have to tell you what it's all about. The celebration, not a problem. Right. His goal, not a problem. The way he conducted himself on the pitch showed a total lack of
What, you think he was over the top with his antics? Or
His antics were terrible. No respect, you know. Red card and book him. Even when Messi done his 3 somersaults and whatever, he's over in the referees and the players. He's on to Milner, he's on to Robinson. He's took 2 out in the
he
space.
He done that when he was at Liverpool.
I know. We stuck up for him. No, but he's got... He's honestly, no morals... No standards, and I can understand, because when he was at Liverpool, I seen some things, and we were sticking up for him to a certain degree. When we couldn't stick up for him, we didn't stick up for him. But for him to do that and play in the manner on the pitch the way he did, I thought, oh, that is
Do you not think he's
shocking.
Very Ramos-esque? You all hate him if he's on another team.
That's what he is.
Yeah,
that's what he is.
He's a great player, uses everything he can.
But I think, honestly, I said to you two before we come on, I don't think he's anywhere near the player he was. And listen, he took his goal fantastically well, but I don't think he's anywhere near the player he was when he was at Liverpool. Yeah,
you mean in pace, don't you?
Pace, and I think in involvement, and I don't know whether because he can't get there anymore, that's why he's maybe getting involved and leaving his foot in and things like that kind of thing. He was lucky he never got booked early on, leaving his foot in. So I don't think he's a player. I think he's still a good player, don't get me wrong, but nowhere near the player he was at Liverpool.
There's someone who's at Liverpool, something, he's sharp, he's sleek and all that. Yeah. Now, he looks like he's put on a couple of pounds, he's bulked up a little bit. Yeah. He's not quite, you know, still a fantastic player, his movements and everything, he'll get goals, like Messi. He's just not as good as he was at Anfield that season we've seen him. But no morals and no standards, and Liverpool fans deserve better for how they looked after him when he was at Liverpool. And the club. Let's not forget when they run out of, I think it was at Wigan, when we knew they, with all the shirts
on. Yeah, the shirts, yeah.
To back him up to the hilt, it was like someone getting a custard pie and going, right in your face. And that's what he did to Liverpool.
Right.
Custard pie does last night. Really disappointing. His goal, no. Celebration, do what you want. I'm not asked about doing celebration. You can't say that, can you? Anyway, but I was really disappointed in him. Right. And he's not a legend of Liverpool in my eyes no more.
Do you understand all this, Sharpie?
But that's how people felt.
No, I've asked you, do you understand it, where it is emotions?
No, but what I'm saying is, because like you look at players and you think, I'm sure a little bit of respect for the club. Some do, some don't, that they played for. What John was talking about Suarez there is what any other supporter of any other team would have thought when he was at Liverpool.
Would have thought the same.
And that's what I'm saying about Sergio Ramos. It's the same thing. You hate him if he's on a different team, don't you?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Everyone hated Suarez in the world, and we knew what he was like. I know what he's like. But we all surrounded him. Yeah. We surrounded him and deflected everything for him and helped him. Can't see that. And then what he did, I can't say the words what I want to say, but he absolutely done something on his own doorstep, big style. It was just horrible to see him acting the way he did.
Will he get a good reception off
anyway,
you?
Not off me.
Let's get to a few callers. It's the Radio City Legends after John's rant. It's 7:15. John Aldridge, Graham Sharpe here. Let's start on the red side of things with David. Evening, David.
Evening, gents.
Go on, give us your thoughts on Suarez first of all, David.
I was going to talk about Suarez, but John's getting a little bit worked up there, isn't he, about old Lewis? Well, to be honest with you, I'm not bothered he celebrated or anything like that.
No, not at all.
I saw that when they scored a goal, they played like 10 games for them, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm not going to celebrate. You've scored a goal. Yeah. Just celebrate. They're not going to think you're a worse person for doing it. If you go right up to the crowd and antagonise them, well, obviously then you're going to get a bit of stick, aren't you? But if you just run off celebrating, there's nothing wrong with that, is that at all for me?
Absolutely.
And I wish ball players would do it, because I hate it when they score and they just dead solemn, and I think to yourself, you've just scored a goal there, last minute of the game of winning, and you're just standing there like that. Oh, great.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's right, you know, absolutely. You know, but you got to have morals, haven't you, really? You know,
he's, as you said, though, he's horrible, and when he played for us, he was the same. He was horrible. He was a horrible wind-up merchant. He used to. I always remember that game against Norwich where when he missed that chance, and he went, "Wee!" Next minute, 2 minutes later, he's bagged. And they were all, and, you know what I mean? It was just typical of him that day. And I thought to myself, but hey, enough about Suarez.
He
plays for Barcelona now, anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Obviously, with regards to the game last night, I think it's like someone's like pricked me balloon today. I've just been aware, and I'm just really struggling to get over, like, oh, we got beat 3-0.
Yeah.
So if you go to like Barcelona, don't play well, you beat 3-0. You can sort of go, okay, we got battered, but we didn't.
No.
We played really, really well. And I think it was just a case of, obviously, a couple of things. Obviously, Messi's one. Secondly, I think we just weren't clinical. We had chances, and we just didn't take them. And then, like, if you don't take your chances, you're never going to win the game. And that was our problem last night. We made about three or four decent chances, and we didn't take any of them. And even one goal, when you look back at it now, you think to yourself, it'd be a totally different ball game. And what I would say is, though, it's very hard now, but it's not insurmountable. You've got to remember last year, they went to Roma. It was 4-1 from the first leg. And they folded like a pack of cards. And I think Anfield Tuesday, if we can go in at half-time, winning to nil, whether it's 1 or 2-0, I really think we can make these sweat, honestly.
There you go. David's got positivity, John.
Oh, yeah. Everything you said, you know, I've been saying myself, you know, he's spot on. You know, absolutely. I can't add to what you're saying. You know, I've been saying that all the time. You know, we just got to be positive, get at them. You know, the atmosphere will be electric, obviously, from the start. You just got to keep your back door bolted. And, you know, as you say, make sure you don't give them the goal. Their one goal takes us out of the equation. So you've got to get at them in a certain way. Just make sure that, you know, we don't give them anything to go on, which is quite difficult when Messi picks the ball up in midfield and goes past three or four players and ends up one on one. That's the one thing you've got to try and, you know, counteract, because he's that good.
Yeah, like I said, that's what I said. Just leave the back door shut. It's easier said than done. With that free kick, though, obviously, I know it's easier thinking about it now, but I don't know why goalkeepers have walls when it's that far out. Because I just think to yourself,
I was thinking about that. You know, you don't. Sometimes, if you're confident in yourself, don't have a wall. You know, the wall can put you off. And I have to say, what I did notice, I was doing LFC TV last night, and I looked at the wall and I thought, that's too far back.
But the wall's too far.
I said on when doing the commentaries, it looked like 11 or 12 yards instead of 10. Have a look again, and I'd love to know that. No, to someone to do the equation on the television, because if you're streetwise, they should have shuffled up. I know it's hard when they draw the line or something, just a little bit more, that half a yard or half an inch, because it's just glanced before Joe Gomez's shoulder. You're talking about half an inch where if it is his shoulder, goes over the bar. So I thought we were a little bit. But the referee, you know, overstrode the 10 yards or whatever. But to me, it did look a lot.
But no one's stopping that free kick.
No, it's a different metal.
Some people were blaming the goalkeeper, you know, and I'm thinking,
oh, it's on the stamp,
and
it's sharp.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not sure about that. I think sometimes when it was awarded, I thought, it's too far out. He's not going to score from there, surely. And I'm thinking, no. Then when he's put it in, it's incredible. Yeah. Wonder goal.
Top draw. David, thank you very much indeed. Great start to the show.
Ten to seven.
Let's get some Everton callers on. Come on.
No, don't worry. Just keep going.
You know.
You're doing well.
Final home game of the season. Tell us about your home campaign. 4720967. Radio City Legends. Yes, it's the Radio City Legends in conjunction with Liverpool Football Club tonight. That's all we've spoken about so far.
Let me tell you, if the listeners could see what was going on here, the fact that...
In the break.
They are crying. crying. They've gone over the footage of last night, right, saying they should have had a penalty there, they should have had this. It's embarrassing.
What do you mean, should have? It was a penalty.
Listen, let it go. You got beat 3-0. Game over.
John, is it not true that we just got a video out, showed it to Sharping, conclusively proved that Sadio Mane was not offside?
I thought he wasn't offside. No chance he wasn't offside. For me, Sharpie disagreed. I thought he was a yard onside when the ball got played. And then I think it was PK one. It was all over. To be fair, it was a really, really clumsy challenge. And I when he went down, the referee put the whistle to his mouth. I thought he's going to give a penalty here. But Manny got up, and Sharpie reckons that Lysman might have said to the referee it was offside. That's why. I thought he was going to give a penalty, but he got up dead quick, and then it all just flitted away. It was really strange, because I thought even have a look at it, the VAR might have a look at it. I don't know. Maybe it was offside, but if it wasn't offside, Manny should have stayed down anyway and got the opportunity, because it was a clumsy, clumsy challenge.
Well, there's no reason why VAR wouldn't have been put in, surely. If the referee thought it was a penalty, surely we should have said. But that's why I think that they showed it again last night on the telly, and they said they thought it was possibly because he was offside when the ball first went in. He was in, I'm talking about inches offside. And that may have been the reason.
That can be the only reason, because we've had penalties for less this season.
Oh, you're right.
Absolute stonewall.
It's probably the first game the referee's not been a Liverpool fan.
Oh, shit. Right, let's talk about Everton. What do you want to talk about? No. Let's have a chat with Phil, who's
our
first caller.
Let's talk about Liverpool,
Evening, Phil.
Evening, guys.
Hello, Phil.
Just about it. I was one of the ones who was we were calling Silver, after the season. That's why I haven't been on, because he seems to have turned it around a bit. I didn't like the zonal marking, but I don't know what's happened there. I don't know whether it's because the players have sort of took more responsibility or we've stopped giving free kicks away. I'm not sure.
It's probably a bit of both, Phil.
Yeah. But my thing is just in Europe, the Everton was thinking of trying to get the seventh place. I mean, I hope we don't, Sharpie, because I think he's got a big job on his hands trying to get rid of the players that have got to come back and trying to build a squad, to be honest.
Yep.
So I don't want us to sort of get in that position that Burnley are in or that we've been in. I just think we've just trying to get the ones that we've got in, like Zouma, we can keep him. But I heard last night that Cahill and someone else who was out injured, so I can't see Chelsea letting him go.
Yeah, Rudiger's out as well. Rudiger's out for 3 or 4 months, I think, so that's another one for them. So that's going to be a problem for me. I think that they'll call him back simply because of the... You know, in saying that, Phil, all depends on the manager. You know, if their manager goes and a new manager comes in, then we might be better off or not so well off, because depending on what he thinks of him as a player. Personally speaking, I'm with you, I'd have him in a minute. But I just think with the situation at Chelsea, it's going to be a difficult one. But the zonal marking, I just said that before, he was getting battered for that, absolutely battered.
And I was one of the ones that was saying, Sharpie, I was like that.
But I kept saying, Phil, at the time, says, fair enough, and okay, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but players have got to take responsibility. And I think now what I see is them defending it better. You know, I think in the first it might have been they weren't sure what was going on, but now I think they know what they're doing. I think Michael Keane and Zouma have formed a good partnership, and it looks a little bit more solid. Obviously, listen, the test will be tomorrow night, because if somebody goes long, it's Burnley. They will just lump everything forward, set pieces into areas, so we need to make sure that we defend properly tomorrow night.
Yeah. But also, I'm a bit scared, Sharp. You know, with Dean having such a good season, I'm looking at, apart from Liverpool, they obviously got Robertson.
Yeah.
And I think City need a left back, you know.
Well, they've come out, Phil, and said that they're going to keep faith with Mendy. I think he had a bad injury, and I think he went off the rails a little bit, social-wise and everything else. But I heard a comment from there the other day saying that they're going to keep faith with Mendy. But no, I agree with you. I think Danger's been brilliant. I just said to John, when you draw comparisons of Barcelona's left back last night, I can't believe it. They let Dania go.
He's
a better player.
He looks a better player, doesn't he? Absolutely.
Phil, nice one. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Phil.
On the Everton front, tomorrow night ahead of the game, they're unveiling the new statue, aren't they? So, statue of Harvey Ball and Kendall.
Yep.
So, Colin Harvey will be the special guest for that.
That'd be nice.
Lovely tribute by the club.
Unfortunately, Howard and Bolly are no longer with us. But great that Colin's going to attend the event tomorrow night and obviously go to the game afterwards. But smashing. They were three fabulous players, but three fabulous guys as well. I got to know Bolly.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I got to know Bolly off the field and going golfing.
Nice
golfing trips, I thought. And he was brilliant. You know, and people ask you what it was like. And I remember growing up as a kid and in Scotland and we used to hate England. And he used to be playing for England and he used to wind us up every time at Hampden and do all the tricks and everything else. So everybody hated him. But when I came down and obviously knew the history of him and everything, I think actually meeting the guy and being social time with him, what a guy. And he talked about Everton, loved Everton, as did Howard. And Colin was a big influence in my career. So the three of them were great players, but, you know, great guys as well.
I'm the same. You know, I met the three of them, obviously, Bowley when he was a Portsmouth manager. I was a tram here. First time I met Alan Ball, I was sitting on a wall at South Liverpool and there was a charity match and he come round the back with his wife and I jumped up in the programme and I went and met him and he was really nice to me. Knowing you're the kid, it means a lot, know what I mean? Colin Harvey, just a pure gentleman, lovely fellow. Where's the statue going to be?
It's going to be outside where the church is at the Gladys Street end on the corner. They've done it all, so it's actually kind of on the middle of the road.
But will they move it when Bramley...
Well, I'm saying I'd imagine so. I would imagine so. But they might leave it there as a legacy, I don't know. I'm not sure, but it's getting unveiled tomorrow night.
Have you seen it without the sneak peek? You have, haven't you? Come on, you have.
No, I've seen I've seen the process of it going through, but if I'm honest with you, I haven't seen the finished.
It's good though. It's not like that Ronaldo statue.
Oh, who knows? I hope so.
Or the Mo Salah one.
I hope so.
Do you remember that Mo Salah?
The Ronaldo one.
Right, let's take a couple more callers. 4720967. We're back on the Liverpool side of things now with Steve. Evening, Steve.
Evening, lads. You're all right.
Hello, Steve.
Evening, John. Evening, Graham.
Hi, pal.
Disappointed, John. Disappointed. I mean, we played so well. Not many teams go to Barca. I'll play them out of possession and have more chances. And we were just a little bit toothless when we got into the final third.
That's a fair way of putting it. Toothless, yeah.
We looked like we could play for another 90 minutes and not get a goal just because we were just either the wrong pass or the wrong option. You know, it looked a little bit rushed in it, and that's Salah's, John. I just think we just needed that one goal because it just changes.
I thought he tried to be too precise. Like when it come, if that had come to me or Sharpie, I'd have thought, would he just got off foot behind it and absolutely smashed it hard and low? Because the three defenders were going backwards on the line, so it'd been really hard for them to have stopped it.
Wouldn't you have took a touch, John?
Possibly.
Because it rolled out to him and he just hit his face back.
Yeah, possibly.
He
lost a little bit of composure because sometimes when that happens as a striker, you see the net balls and you can't wait to smash it and you're waiting to run away. And unfortunately, you know, he's human. You know, he doesn't miss many chances like that, or he hasn't, you know, whilst he's been at Liverpool. Just the wrong time to do it, unfortunately, because at 3-1, we're right in the game. You know, so it's just unfortunate, you know, the way it has been. But Tootless was the man he won for me was a great opportunity. Mm. It looked like he had no conviction in himself. Mm. He didn't believe that he could score in that because he stretched when he didn't have to stretch. All he had to do is make contact and time the ball and keep it low and it'll skid off and you might score the goal. You know, James Milner won. That was like a penalty to him. He just had to guide it back because the goalie's coming from left to right. He just needed to guide it in the right hand corner. The goalie's left hand and the goalie's out of the equation. But it's easy saying now we're on the radio and we're just talking. You put yourself in 100,000 people there, you know, it's an intense moment, you know, critical time. And all of a sudden you can fluff your lines. Hey, I've done it in the FA Cup final. It gets you, you know, you hit it too soon. You're too erratic. You know, you lose your composure. And that's what we lost in front of goal last night, the composure.
You see that time with Milner, you go, that hit the target.
Oh, I thought it was a goal. All of them, I thought, that's a goal. Yeah.
But Steve, just looking, Christian, the producer, said something interesting before we came on air. In the summer, listen, you look at Liverpool, and Liverpool have lost one game and haven't done an awful lot wrong. Would you see them changing their style a little and having a John Aldridge type goals, a Harry Kane type in the centre of the front three?
I'll be honest, Graham, it doesn't suit the system to have a striker like that.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, he needs to be able to be mobile and persistent and be technical as well. I'm not saying Harry Kane isn't that type of player because he's an unbelievable finisher, but there's just more to Firmino's game. He drops deep and he goes up top, mm-hmm. and it's a real team game. Mm-hmm. And I was actually speaking, and I know this is terrible because look what happened with Coutinho. I mean, he was our best player. We sold him for the money that we did, and we replaced him with two better players that fitted into the system. And I've just got a feeling that someone potentially might come in for one of the front three. Mm. So, to give an example, if someone like PSG or Real Madrid, or, you know, because they're obviously rebuilding, want to spend like $175 million for Salah, or I'd honestly, and Liverpool fans might criticise me for this, but if you look at the bigger picture, you could probably buy two players at the top end for that. Into the system.
Well, it wouldn't be the end of the world because it wouldn't be the end of the world. I don't want him to go anywhere, don't take me. But Steve, if you look at it, you know, Coutinho, Suarez, we've actually built on what we got for them and built wisely with what Jurgen Klopp and his backroom staff have done. So there's always hope if that happens. Ideally, you know, I agree with you. I'd love us to get an out-and-out goal scorer, but would it fit the bill? I'm not sure. I think we have to get someone who can play along the front three. Because Manny can play down the middle, as he's shown, very well. Salah can play down the middle very well, and Firmino can. You know what I mean? And they can go wide. Firmino can't go wide. He's lost a little bit. So I think it's got to be a striker, youngish, who fits the bill, who can come in, who's a goal scorer, and play an out-and-out. You're looking at three players now, without an Harry Kane that scored 84 league goals. And that says it all. 84 league goals.
Yes, you wouldn't sell any of them.
So, but I'm just saying we haven't got
a fullback.
Myself or Graham and out and out, Harry Kane out and out, who can't play wide. We haven't got one of them. So, what Steve's saying is quite right. It would have to be a forward that can play along, who's utility along the front line, who can bang in 20 goals or so.
So more realistically, so Divock Origi, Daniel Sturridge, they're the ones who'd make way for someone like that.
Oh, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, look, at the end of the day, Daniel Sturridge's contract's over. He's done well for the club. You know, he's gone. Origi, not good enough, in my opinion. It's nowhere near good enough to the standard that you want to get Manchester City side or Liverpool side. Liverpool have to go and sell him and get some. We've got a young lad called Brewster coming in. They've got to work with him and hopefully, you know, he'll get to the standard that you need. But you've got to go and try and find, and don't come cheap, and we don't know. Mm-hmm. And Liverpool's buying policy means that basically you're looking at 20 to 25-year-old bracket, you know. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I think we have to go and get someone there big time because midfield were okay, but up top, anything happens to one of them, as it showed last night, you're fitting a little bit of square pegs and round holes.
Steve, thank you very much.
Cheers, Steve.
Nice call. That's 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Before we go to the break, so I was lucky enough to go out to Barcelona, and when I was in the airport, I had a call behind me, Stevie boy. And it was Lowy, Ryan Lowe.
Was he out there, Lowy?
And, of course, the night before, I'd been at Prenton Park watching Bury get promotion. Yeah, so fantastic. Yeah. We should give him a shout for that because that's a club that's been struggling financially.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could have waited to do problems. It somewhere else than Prenton Park, though, Steve. Yeah.
It didn't go down well with some of the Prenton Park regulars, like our other producer, Matty, because at the end of the game, all the Bury fans tried to get on the pitch. Tranmere have still got another game to play in the playoffs haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the stewards and the police obviously couldn't get them off quick enough. I don't think there was enough stewards or police. So I think there was a little bit of discontent amongst the main stand at Tranmere because, the Bury fans are going to celebrate, aren't they?
You
can't blame them, but at the end of the day, the stewards should have stopped them. And it's a hard job. Asking a steward to stop people now, it's a hard job.
True.
Well, of course it is. But well done to Lowy anyway, because that's a remarkable achievement.
First year. Fabulous. Well done. Absolutely.
And of course, Tranmere. It might still happen.
Mickey Mellon's doing brilliant. You know, Mickey, you know, two back-to-back playoffs. You know, they took that beginning of the season. I think the Tranmere fans would have said, we'll take that. You know, maybe get the playoffs. And the right up there, you know.
And the highest scorer in all four leagues in James Norwood.
He's done brilliant.
Is he on 30?
Yeah,
he's done. All right, 30. Look at Matty nodding away.
Keeping hold of him.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it?
Next year. Yeah. But let's get them up first, and then hopefully, you know, they can get them up. You stand more of a chance of keeping them.
Right, fingers crossed. Let's see if the boys can be ice cool for Pens next as we go into. And I think Christian, our producer, said the other day if Sharpie doesn't win, your season's virtually over now.
Oh.
It's make or break for you. Stand by.
This has been the
this
same
is like, the This is like the replay of 3-0 down against Barcelona, Charlie. Would you take it by beating me and Liverpool beating Barca?
No, you could have it.
13 minutes past 7 o'clock. Sharpie, have you ever felt pressure like it before?
No.
No, you haven't?
Yes, I have, yeah. When it was late in one night.
Right. Yeah. So don't act like Luis Suarez.
No.
Well, you'll upset John even more. Right, this could be it. This could be a decisive pens showdown. Six questions, six pens. And who's going to go first?
Go on, Sharpie. Jason.
All right. What question are you going for, Sharpie?
Five.
There's a lot of deliberation there,
Sharpie.
I know.
What do you think it is, number five?
Knowing the way he sets voice. Him out, yeah. Voice of music.
Song and artist.
Oh, you've been getting these
all. Oh, yeah, really?
You didn't get it the other day, did you?
No.
Oh, no, you nearly.
Yeah, they never gave it, did he?
Hit the bar.
Oh, come on, you were nowhere near it.
What did I see? Something revolver or something?
Yeah,
can't remember what gun was.
Smoking gun. Yes.
Here we go. Song and artist. It's one of John's favourite artists.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Do you want me to play that again for you? Here we go. Song and artist.
Yeah, Luther Vandross.
Yeah.
It is Luther Vandross. But what is the song called?
Should put the timer on there. Put the timer on.
I couldn't find it. Here we go.
Give me the reason.
Yeah, he's got it. Yeah, he's got it. Yeah. Got to give him that one, yeah.
Yes! Yes!
It is actually Give Me A Reason, not Give Me The Reason, but we'll give you that anyway.
Oh, that's awful kind. That's the first time. First one all season.
John?
Two.
Number two. What club did Sunderland sign Simon Mignolet from?
Sunderland?
Oh. What club did Sunderland sign Simon Mignolet from? That's a horrendous question.
That is.
Look at Christian laughing in the corner.
What is Simon Mignolet? He's Belgian, isn't he?
John, I wouldn't know this.
No chance.
No chance you knowing this.
Ostend.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
It's actually called Saint Truden.
Oh, come on, Christian. What's Saint the question? Yeah, you're right
that,
about him,
you
Sharpie.
But Saint Truden.
See how they've ganged up on you now.
What number was that?
That was number two.
That's probably one of the hardest ones I've ever had. Yeah.
By the way, where did you get that one? What made you think of that one?
Why is he thinking about Simon Mignolet?
Oh.
Mm. Go on.
Six.
Six. Mystery voice?
Yeah. Oh, you need to mix them up.
You need
to mix them up. Five
is it
and
always
six.
The same?
Five and six, yeah.
Come on, Christian, pull your finger out. Here we go. Who's this voice?
He says, you're a Liverpool fan. He says, I know you're scared. You're a young lad.
Can I hear it once more?
He says, you're a Liverpool fan.
He says, mate.
I know you're scared. You're a young lad.
We've had him on here. In place of you.
It's your mate.
Who is it?
Goalkeeper.
Oh, stop it! Give him some goalkeeper names.
It's not Laurel. It's. Hold on, I've got.
It is one of
Chris
those.
Kipland.
Oh, wow.
Did you see me? He was up to the
end. Yeah, he's a bad man, isn't he? He's awful.
Who was he?
Chris Kirkland.
Chris Kipland.
Nice and easy. They're at extremes, these questions, aren't they?
Six are usually...
All right.
Well done.
John, keep yourself in the pens.
I know, I'm knackered here, aren't I? Number one.
Number one. Which team has scored the most goals in this season's Champions League? I can't believe it. Which team scored the most goals in this season's
this
Champions League? I hope he's got this right.
I'm going to guess. I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough one. Ajax.
Liverpool.
Absolutely no idea.
It is actually, according to Christian, Manchester City.
Oh,
is that right?
They battered someone like that, didn't they?
Obviously. Like six or seven, I don't know. They've got 30, apparently, so far in the Champions League.
No, Sharpie.
Well, it's nice and easy. I'll give you the questions anyway. Go on, Sharpie. You've won, but go on.
Have I won? It could be a draw, couldn't it?
No. One left.
No, he's got two wrong. You've got two right.
All right, okay. I may get this one wrong.
All right, go on. What do you want, number three or four?
I'll go four.
Number four. What club did former Everton manager Roberto Martinez finish his playing career at? Which club did he finish his playing career at?
Oh, I know this as well. He went to Motherwell, didn't he? But was that the last one? I'll go Motherwell.
No, John, do you know the answer?
I thought maybe Wigan, but I don't know.
Crewe or somebody?
It was Chester. Chester City. All right, John, final one. Real Madrid have how many Champions League stroke European Cup titles? How many times have they won the Champions League or the European Cup?
I think it's 13, isn't it?
That is correct, but well, Sharpie is today's Pens winner. Sorry?
Martinez was at Motherwell, I'm sure he's a player.
I'll Google him for you in a minute. Not heard this music for a while, have we?
Yeah, I hear it every... I'm
waiting for Martinez. Simon Mignolet, you'd never have got that in a minute.
Oh, that's a bad question. That's a bad question.
He has a habit, doesn't he, at the moment?
Yeah, bad question.
Anyway, yeah, you kept yourself in the running.
Yeah, well done.
Graham Sharp moves to 25. I think you can only draw the series anyway. It's 20 minutes past 7. So Everton play tomorrow night. You got Burnley. Yeah. Is that going to be a stinker of a game, or are you expecting...
No, it should be a good game, but this will test Everton, just as the caller said about, you know, we saw Burnley the other night against Man City, and they like to go route one.
Against Chelsea as well.
Yeah, they like to go route one, and they're decent with the way they play. You know, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but they get it forward to the two front lads, who are a handful. So it'll be a test for everybody's talking about Keane and Zouma partnership. This will be a test for them. I'd like to think that going the other way will cause them problems. But I don't. They're not pretty, but you know they're effective. So it'll be a tough game, but hopefully last game of the season, home game of the season, we can sign off with a victory.
Okay, I think we've got James on the line who wants to talk about the Blues now. Welcome to the Radio City Legends, James.
Hiya, you all right, lads?
Hey, James.
Hello, James.
Just want to talk about European football and the season so far in general. I think in terms of European football, I don't see why anyone doesn't want us to go into it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a must, really, for the club of Everton stars and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I'd say, I wouldn't be too disappointed if we didn't get into it due to Brands coming out and saying he wants 7 players to come in, and it might be a bit too much for them to learn Silver's way in such a short time with the Europa League starting in the end of June. And in terms of the season so far, I wouldn't call it a success, because as far as I'm concerned, success is a trophy at the end of a season. That's the only success that can be classed as success. But in terms of Silva, this season, I think it has been a success for him himself in finding out the players who he wants in the team, in the first team, the balance of the team, getting it right, and how, like, getting his philosophy over to the players and getting them to learn how he wants to play going forward and stuff.
I think you're spot on. I just think that, you know, he came in and people expected miracles. You know, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
He inherited
a squad that you've seen, I've seen, everybody's seen, and just said under Allardyce and under Koeman wasn't good enough. So he needed to be given time to bring his own players in. I think the players he's brought into the squad have improved the squad. But the big thing, as you quite rightly said, is the summer, you know, and what Marcel Brands and Marco Silva are planning to do in terms of getting rid of what we call the dead wood, you know, trying to get some of the players off the wage bill. Now, that's going to be a tough job in itself, but I agree with you at the beginning when you said that it's imperative that we try and qualify for Europe, you know, year in, year out. I think that's a must. I think the pressure will be on the manager next year to try and achieve that. I think this year it's probably just beyond us. I hope I'm wrong, but I think it might just be beyond us.
I think if Wolves get a point, I think that's over, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But in terms of going forward, really, I think it's imperative as well that we get, like, a creative midfielder who can know when we're playing the likes of these Palace teams, who are going to sit there and sign counters. And also, I think if Calvert-Lewin can add about 10 goals to 15 into his game next season, I think if we get another striker who can share 10 to 15 goals with him, I think that would be all right as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, I think we talked about it with Liverpool and the onus being in one guy. If you've got people chipping in, I think Richarlison's chipped in, Sigurdsson's chipped in this year as well. So if Dominic can add goals to his game, well, that's going to be a massive plus as well. So that's something we can only hope for. But again, it takes time. And as I said, his first season has not been a success. He's rallied it around and turned it around. But at one stage, people were calling for his head. I think he's overcome that now. And now we've got to do is get behind him. and back him, and hopefully next season we'll see signs of improvement yet again. You know, listen, yeah, as I said to you before, it doesn't happen overnight, but I think next year, I think, you know, we have to progress further than what we have done in recent years in terms of cup competition, yeah, especially domestic ones.
I think if the recruitment's right, they'll push on it, and depending on what happens to Chelsea and Arsenal, in terms of what they're being told to be spending, I think there's a chance for us, if the recruitment's right, we can really get on the tails of them two teams.
Well, I just said to John last week, or at the beginning of this week, you look at Liverpool and Man City are streaks ahead of everybody, and then you've got Arsenal, United, Chelsea. You know, we've got to try and catch them up. You know, Liverpool and City are miles ahead at this moment in time. The rest of them are bunching together, and that gives us an ideal opportunity, if we can progress quickly, to maybe overtake one of them. It'll be tough, don't get me wrong, but it's a possibility.
Right, thank you very much indeed, Gustav James. Finally, a quick word from John. Obviously, the weekend we'll see Liverpool play on Saturday night at Newcastle. Man City don't play till Monday. So Man City against Leicester on Monday night, but first the Newcastle
test. Yeah, you've got to get over the hangover of last night, haven't you, lads? Mm. You know, don't lose the, you know, what we've been doing. You know, keep the focus right. He'll freshen up and bring about four players, I think, in for the game, four or maybe five. You know, but you've just got to go there and be professional and just keep the heat on City and hope for something to happen. That's all we can hope for now.
Mm. You see it as a tough fixture?
Well, we said Rafa's been a good manager. It's about time he's got to prove himself.
It's a smelly one. Yeah, you know, we know, you know, what he can do. Everton's been there, seeing it first hand.
Liverpool talked before about the two fixtures remaining, and saying City's got tough. Liverpool's fixtures are tough as well. We said it the other day, Newcastle and Wolves, but the most important one is Newcastle. Get over that, then you've got a chance.
You just got to hope. You know, it's out of our hands. You just hope something happens elsewhere.
Goodness me, massive week for the Reds. Good luck as well with the statue unveiling. Yeah. Hope you're there tomorrow. Sharpie, fantastic, boys. Thank you.
Cheers.
25 minutes past 7 o'clock. That was the Radio City Legends. It doesn't return on Monday because it's bank holiday. But it will be back next Thursday. I'll see you there for that. But I'll see you tomorrow morning on Radio City Talk from 7 a.m.